And there goes the full-time whistle for it. Serene are promoted into League One as all the players have managed to storm onto the pitch. I've had a word with someone very special. I won't be breaking any copyright by telling you this. Yes. Derby, Sunderland, Ipswich, you're going to be eating hummus at the new lawn next season because Forest Green are in League One.
Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Shimmy. Shum.
Heavens Devils podcast. We're on episode 66. We got to get our kicks. Let's do it.
Let's go! And we did get our kicks today, Shimmy!
We did. Finally.
In the stupid Papa John's pizza cup. We got our kicks, baby. Three goals from three defenders. Okay, before we go any further, we are brought to you by Settlement 84, a vegan and eco-conscious clothing company making fire threads, including some that feature yours truly. If your name is Billy Hunt, you need to go to Settlement84.com right now and order some new salmon shorts because I have it on good authority that Billy Hunt, the voice of the Forest Green Rovers, has ripped his lucky salmon shorts and our season is over. So, Billy, get to Settlement84.com right now and get new shorts before the match on Saturday so we don't lose and blow the season. Everyone else, you can check out Settlement 84 at Settlement84.com. Get you some fire threads. Okay, to the football, to the pizza cup. Three goals from three defenders. We'll talk briefly about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel great about that or not, but it's awesome to see our man, DB.
Dom Bernard, that's what I was going to say. I don't know if Amari Little's red card in the Papa John's Cup counts in the league game. I don't know who we're bringing in the transfer window. I don't know if Harvey Bunker exists, but I do know this, Shimmy. Dom Bernard scored. I saw it with my own eyes. It took all my sadness from the weekend away.
Yes.
It's amazing. Dom Bernard. Two goals in two games, Shimmy.
I know. This guy's on fire. We've been calling it for years.
Yes.
Like, people have not been able to see it. You're seeing it now, man. That extra bit of inner thigh makes all the difference.
That extra bit of inner thigh.
The little aerodynamics.
Any defense stop this man? He had a beautiful header on Saturday against Luke McGee. Sailed right past Luke McGee for a nice little going. And then Tuesday night in the Pizza Cup, unbelievable strike. And a wild game. All three defenders scored, as we said, to defeat the Southampton under-21s 3-1. As Jake Wyman said on Twitter, our team is upside down. All three defenders scored. But sadly, Armani Little was sent off with a red. Cooley Bailey Cargo went off with an injury. Shimmy, this Pizza Cup is so annoying. I don't know why it exists other than to like help Premier League clubs and their youth squads. But I digress, Shimmy. I digress.
Yeah. Is there anything Papa John Schnatter cannot ruin? And I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to find evidence to counter that.
Big show today, Shimmy. Big show. We have a lot of big guests. We also have Shimmy just temporarily now. Check this out.
Where are you?
Right here. Oh, do you see it?
I see it. Oh, my God. The soundboard.
Soundboard.
We need like the 2001 Space Odyssey.
They lied.
Look at this.
We owe China. We really do have to get going.
Is Putin likes Trump? Donald Trump?
We have all kinds. We got this. Wow. We got, you want Biden? Here's some Biden.
Rub my leg down. I love kids jumping on my lap. I got hairy legs.
Wow. This is also very, like, soccer oriented. This is what the soundboard is.
I got hairy legs.
This is for Dom Bernardo.
I got hairy legs. I got hairy legs.
This is all
Harry
the case to the training team.
You're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier.
Ooh. All right, Shimmy. So let's get into the pod here. We got a soundboard. We're going to play with it a little bit later. Okay. Big show today, Shimmy. We talk Sheffield Wednesday. We talk Shrewsbury. We talk Sheffield Wednesday and Shrewsbury with our guy, Laurie Martin. We have Ollie from the Salopcast Shrewsbury Town podcast to talk all things Shrews. And we have this head chef of the Forest Green Rovers on, Shimmy. Awesome chat with Jade Crawford and a riveting piece where we rank vegetables. Incredible radio, right,
no.
Shimmy?
I mean, listen, 21st century entertainment at its finest. I dare people to be more entertained.
Huge pod, man. I'm going to love it. So we're going to Lori first, then we'll go to Jade, and then we'll end with our guy Ollie from Shrewsbury Town to get us all ready for our second win of the season Our second league win in the season against Shrewsbury Town. So big pod, big times, Tushimi. We got the transfer deadline looming. By the time this pod comes out, we may have new players. I think we will have new players by Thursday.
We really need new players. We need a little bit of fortification, it feels like.
Yeah. We need some depth, man. Rich Hughes mentioned that he might bring in a few on the Not Top 20 podcast. Really fascinating podcast. It was an interview with Rich Hughes and then also with the owner of the Crawley Town, the American NFT guy. It was fascinating, actually. Wow. I wasn't planning to stick around for that interview. I was planning just for Richard Hughes, but I left the pot on, and yeah, it was interesting, I gotta say.
Here,
but anyway,
pop quiz. What is the current value of Bitcoin? Never mind.
Well, actually, they asked him that on the pod, and he said, like, look, we bought the whole club in cash. Everything is in cash. The NFT stuff is, like, whatever, ancillary, but I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But Rich Hughes did say that we are going to sign – well, he hinted we're going to sign a couple more people before Thursday, which is the deadline day when the window closes. So that's exciting, Shimmy.
Very exciting.
But very exciting. Man, it's a big week. It's a big week, Shimmy. A big 7 days, huge 7 days. Transfer deadline. Huge matches against Shrewsbury and Accrington. Stanley, we have to get points out of those games. So, Shimmy, though, let's get to our guest. But before we get to our guest, Shimmy, let's take everyone back to Saturday against Wednesday. A day none of us want to remember.
I know.
A day that it should have been memorable, Shimmy. It was at a historic ground, but it quickly became forgettable as Sheffield Wednesday demolished the Forest Green Rovers by a score of 5-0. And it could have been worse.
It could have been way worse.
Oh, it could have been way worse. Even the first half. The first half, the home side were up 4-0 at break. Josh Windass, family pod, following up Liam Palmer's block shot to give Wednesday the lead just after 12 minutes. And they follow that up with the most disrespectful goal celebration I've ever seen, Shimmy. They didn't celebrate at all. They just acted like this was a training.
Yeah. That is one thing you never want to see. You want to be loved or you want to be hated, but when people are indifferent towards you, it doesn't do much.
Yeah, I felt that indifference after every goal. And there's got to be a fart joke there, Shimmy, with Windass, and you're the man to put it together, so think on that while I tell
or
you
should
what
I
happened
stink
in the 19th
on
minute.
That.
Hey, there it is, Jimmy. There it is.
All right. I'm taking the headphones off then. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
That's been the podcast. The Owls doubled their advantage in the 19th minute when Windass's long ball reached the feet of Barry Banana Man Bannon. And the skipper applied a clever finish over Cool Hand Luke. The Banana Man Bannon, Banana Hammock, turn provider in the 31st minute, sending free kick behind the Forest Green Rovers defense. And Palmer was there to convert. And then Little Lee Gregory added the fourth in the first minute of the first half of stoppage time when his effort from the edge of the box was deflected in. And Wednesday got their fifth and final goal in the 56th minute when Rovers defender, our man, Drippy Don Bernard, had a beautiful header into his own net. So, just a terrible day at the office, Shimmy.
It was. You know, it was expected. We're going to have those days in League One. It's just a reality of moving up a league, playing against a team like Wednesday, having played Ipswich a couple match days back. We're just going to have these days. We got to take them on the chin, you know. But man, it still doesn't feel great when you're watching it.
No, it was an awful, awful game, ugly performance, but... Yeah, I'm not going to get too upset, too worried until this happens like a few more times. If we don't get anything out of Shrewsbury and Akron and Stanley, okay, then I think it's time to worry. But look, we're not going to beat, you know, we're not going to beat Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday. Of course, we want to put in a much better performance, but I don't know. These weird games happen. Last year, remember, we lost to Barrow 4-0 as we were cruising to the promotion. So yeah, it was tough. I mean, we looked hopeless on Saturday. We looked like we didn't belong on the same pitch. But I think there's a lot of game left. There's a lot of season left. And I don't think we should panic.
No.
Yet.
And those moments can be galvanizing too. You know, those moments can be galvanizing where you know the players and the coaching staff and everyone just looks at each other and says, "Hey, like if this is the level we bring or this is our approach, this is going to happen." Like that's the reality, just kind of really smacking us in the face. And look at
Liverpool. They had an embarrassing performance against Man United. They came out the next week 9-0. So I'm predicting a 9-0 win this weekend against Shrewsbury.
There you go. That would be a true taming of the Shrewsbury if we were to Pull a 9-0 on that one. But
let's go, yeah. Shimmy. All right.
At least we're settle for not being Bournemouth. That will be
or Scotty Parker. Parker.
Yeah. R.I.P. Scotty P.
Rest in peace, Scotty P. And since we are too dumb, Shimmy, to have a thoughtful opinion on everything relating to Forest Green, we brought on Laurie Martin to chat a little bit more about Wednesday's match, about all the criticisms that people have right now over Birchnell, over the performances, talk about the future. Should we be optimistic? Should we be worried? Let's hear what Laurie Martin has to say. Let's go to Laurie Martin. We welcome back to the pod our friend, Laurie Martin. Welcome back, Laurie.
How are we? Are we good?
Doing great. I mean, apart from Saturday's result and performance, everything else is good. So, how about you, Laurie?
Yeah, as you say, trying to forget Saturday. I mean, it was a good occasion in terms of what it was, going to Sheffield Wednesday, like one of the away days we've most been looking forward to. But yeah, I think probably the heaviest defeat I've seen from a Forest Green team. So I guess it'll be remembered for that reason.
Oh, well, you answered so many of my questions right there. But let's get in a little bit a little more in depth, actually, because I did want to ask you first and foremost, forgetting about the match, forget the ugly performance for a second. Just tell us, how surreal was it for you, a lifelong fan, to go to Hillsborough to play Sheffield Wednesday in a league game?
Yeah, I mean, amazing. Like, it's an incredible stadium. I don't think away fans are normally on the lower tier, which we were. And then you sort of just look up at it, and the crazy thing is that the crowd was 22,500, and there were still two bigger crowds in League One that day. I think it must have been Ipswich and Derby. So it just shows that, it's probably the biggest club we've played at league level, the biggest ground we've been to, the biggest crowd we've played in front of at league level, but we'll still get bigger things to come probably. So yeah, it was crazy. They had a lot of quality, and then just the ground and everything. Probably would have liked to have sort of gone around it a little bit more and to just see the size of it and everything. But yeah, we'll get a couple more chances to go to big stadiums like that. It was a bit surreal.
Yeah, wild League One. That's what they say. You know, it's the league of two leagues, and you're going to have giants like this. How did the atmosphere compare to other games you've been to?
When Sheffield Wednesday fans got going, they were good. I mean, it must be difficult for them because, when you're 4-0 up against a team at halftime, it's like, we'll know because it's happened to us a few times. It's a bit difficult to keep a hostile atmosphere going when you're 4-0 up against a team like us. But I mean, I've never seen so many opposition fans complimentary about our away support before. I genuinely don't think I have. I thought Sheffield Wednesday might be the type of club, just because of the size of them, to just, give us pelters on Twitter and putting gifts of meat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they were incredibly classy with some of the comments they left. Like, the support was really good. I didn't think... it's difficult to know. I don't think it was particularly loud, but it was non-stop, even at 5-0 down. I think everyone was just intent on having a good time, reminiscing, singing about old players. We went through a whole sort of album of just singing about old players for about half hour. It was brilliant. So yeah, I mean, it was good to see that, I think, because we don't have a reputation for having amazing away support, but I think we really impressed the Wednesday fans, which was nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, a couple things you said there. First, we had Gab Sutton on the beginning of the season, and I remember one of the questions I asked him, we were trying to get to know League One, and I said, who's going to be the League One Tranmere, like the trolls on Twitter who are always messing with us? And he's like, I think it's going to be Sheffield Wednesday. But I agree with you. It was exactly the opposite. Everyone on Twitter was so kind. Everyone from Sheffield was so complimentary, like you said. And that's, obviously a credit to you guys. So many people, will make fun of the number of away fans we bring, but it's a tiny club. And it was really cool to see Sheffield Wednesday acknowledge that, it's a tiny club. You're going to bring not a ton of people, but the people you brought were class, singing the whole game, 5-0 down, getting crushed, and just, enjoying the day out, supporting the team. Awesome. It was so cool to see. And yeah, I agree. It was, you know, tip of the hat to Sheffield Wednesday on that. So let's get on with it, Laurie. What should have been a memorable day at a historic ground quickly became forgettable as Sheffield Wednesday demolished us 5-0. And it could have been worse. Thoughts on the game, Laurie?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was always very, very likely to happen, wasn't it? A defeat, I think. You know, we've had a difficult start to the season with Ipswich, Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday. And I think, you know, getting 0 points from 9 shouldn't be too much of a surprise. But the performance at Wednesday was disappointing. I know they've got so much quality, so much class across the pitch. But did they really like need to show it against us? Not really. I mean, we had 0.0 XG until about the 65th minute. It's like, it was just really frustrating. And the second and third goals are so poor. And, you know, at the time as well, I was sort of really angry with the manner of them, and a lot of people around me were as well, because don't mind getting cut open and stuff like that. Or if a 30-yard screamer flies into the top corner, then, you know, sometimes that can happen. But long balls straight down the middle of the pitch, like, come on, we've got to be a bit smarter there and deal with those, I think. But in terms of result, probably not a huge shock. In terms of performance, I think we can be a whole lot better, you know. So sort of a little bit in two minds about it, I guess. On the one hand, you're like, Sheffield is Sheffield Wednesday. They'll probably be in the top two. We weren't going to get anything. But on the other hand, we can give such a better account of ourselves just in terms of performance level. You know, didn't really compete in any area of the pitch. And I think if they wanted to make it 6 or 7 in the second half, then they easily could have.
100%, man. I wonder, though, do you think the fact that Mark Cooper was coaching us for this one impacted the performance?
How did they get that so far on? I mean, it's amazing. a great spot from Billy, and then B. Edwards as well in midfield.
Yeah.
What are they trying to do?
Subbed out Ben Stevenson. Do you think it was intentional, or was it like was it a little joke, a little jab, or was it like genuinely like they screwed up? I don't know how you can screw that up, though.
Well, I don't see how it could be a dig or anything, because, you know, two clubs have never played each other before.
That's true.
Yeah. No, if it was Tramier, then
it
probably is. I genuinely think it probably was an error. How they've got it that far wrong? I mean, if you include Jimmy Ball, we've had 3 managers since Mark Cooper. Bizarre.
Yeah, I guess I should give some context in case people didn't see Billy Hunt's tweet, but or weren't in the match. On the scoreboard, it listed the starting 11 and the coach, and instead of Ben Stevenson, it said Ben Edward, and then it said coaching the Forest Green Rovers, and instead of Ian Birchnell, it said Mark Cooper. So a little PTSD for a lot of fans there. All right, so Laurie, we are a second half team. All 4 of our goals this season have come in the second half of our matches. And while our goal difference is -8, if you look at only the second half, the goal difference is 0. We got 4 goals scored, 4 goals conceded. At Wednesday, the second half was better than the first. Hard to be worse. Only gave up 1 goal, and we actually had a shot on goal. So, hey, improvement. Did we actually improve in the second half, or was it more a function of Wednesday just relaxing, taking it easy? The game had already been won. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to overexert themselves.
No, I don't think we can take huge positives from the second half even. I mean, game state plays a massive part. When you're 4-0 up, you don't need to, you don't need to go at the same levels. And from memory, I mean, they took off a lot of their best players, didn't they? Like Gregory, I can't quite remember who else. But yeah, I don't think we can. It was the Pert Harris chance, which was blocked, which was probably the best one. I mean, I think there were 3 shots overall, and the 2 other ones were, you know, I think overall we racked up about 0.2 XG, didn't we? So still sort of like nowhere near the levels. But like you say about the second half sort of stat, I mean, I guess we need to just have an element of pragmatism, don't we? I mean, I guess against Ipswich and Plymouth, we were caught out by quality finishes in the first half, but we've been 8-0 down by half-time in the 3 matches this week, you know? So we just need to, I think, just be, I don't know how, but just be a bit more pragmatic. We need to, it's just killing us, really. Those last 3 games, was Brighton a 3-0 game last week? No, it wasn't. It probably should have been like 2-1. But we're just conceding goals at terrible times that are just killing us at the moment. So it's all about giving us an actual chance going into the second half. So when, you know, if we actually do play well in the second half, we actually have a chance of getting back into the result, back into the game by not giving ourselves a mountain to climb.
Yeah. This was a bad loss and a bad performance. I do recall the last season we were chasing the title, chasing promotion, and we lost 4-0 at Barrow at the end of the season. So there have been some bad losses and performances in our recent history. Where does this one rank for you, Laurie?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously quality of opposition needs to be taken into account. I mean, I think it's the heaviest defeat I've seen. I've seen a couple of 5-1s and a few 4-0s, but I can't remember seeing a 5-0. I could be wrong. But yeah, I mean, as well, when you compare it to, you know, losing 5-0 to Sheffield Wednesday and losing 4-0 to Barrow, you know, it's just not comparable. And as well, that game against Barrow, I genuinely couldn't fall far from the conclusion that they just wanted it more. I felt like they were just way more up for it than Forest Green that day. Whereas I don't think that was the case one bit on Saturday. It's just way, way better than us, like absolutely streets ahead, which I guess their budget and, you know, playing squad shows they should be. So I think heaviest defeat I've seen in terms of, you know, sort of embarrassment or something like that, then it's sort of nowhere near the top just based on the opposition we played, I think.
All right. So let's listen to Ian's post-match interview really quick. And I just want to get your reaction to a few of the things he said.
But I think first half, we make it far too easy for them. We have a situation where, of course, we go 1-0 down, but the second and the third goal are so preventable. They're very, very soft. They're just long balls into our box that we don't deal with, and we've got to be able to deal with that sort of stuff better if especially coming to here, we can't give soft goals away.
So he kind of agrees with you there about the second and third goals. They were soft. They were preventable. You agree with that assessment. How do we fix that going forward? Because it seems like we've had that issue more than a few times actually this season.
Yeah, I think it's different to when we first got promoted into League Two. I think in League Two we started off with, we conceded a lot of goals. Like we conceded in our first few games, we conceded 3 against Yeovil, 5 at Colchester, 3 at Wickham. But I feel like that was more to do with naivety and overplaying in silly areas. And whereas this is completely different. This is conceding really soft goals. How you stop it, I don't know. I mean, I look at the third goal in particular, and admittedly, it's only on the highlights, but I think Ben Stevenson should basically stand over the ball from Barry Bannon's free kick. Bannon wants to take it quickly and wants to play a 50-yard diagonal. Stevenson's just sort of stood near the ball doing nothing. I think he should probably stand in front of it, stop Bannon taking it quickly, even if it means getting a booking. And then McAllister's sort of body shape, and he just gets caught the wrong side. It's a terrible goal to concede. And then obviously I think Dom's taken responsibility for the second one where he's on the stretch for it. So it's different to League Two, where I think we got caught overplaying. Maybe we were outdone by more physical forwards as well. This time it's just poor, preventable sort of defensive errors from long balls like those second and third goals on Saturday.
Yeah, I want to play another little clip and get your reaction to it here.
A few changes to the starting 11 as well from the last outing. Do you think on an afternoon like today, those changes would have made much of a difference if there was different personnel?
I don't really think this was an individual personnel thing. I just think that we gave them the momentum in the game. They scored when they got their first couple of chances, and then the game ran away from us, and we can't let that happen. So we have to be a bit more united as a team, especially when we go a goal behind. So yeah, some big lessons to learn. There's a long, long way to go of the season.
So Laurie, he doesn't think the starting 11 played a role in the defeat. I know most fans, including myself, were pretty surprised at that starting 11. Leaving Regan and Armani on the bench. Some people argue Casey should also be in that starting 11. And many, I think, maybe myself included, think we should have two attackers up front, two strikers up front. What did you make of this starting 11, Laurie?
Yeah, probably a bit surprised when I first saw it. I mean, Wickham, obviously a massive, massive loss. I think, you know, even if he wasn't capable of completing 90 minutes, if he was available, he should have started the game. Because I just think he's just our best striker, because what he can do is above League One level. But yeah, I was surprised. Hendry, I understand that, you know, tiredness was sort of the reason put down to it. But again, he's been our best midfielder so far this season. Ollie Casey was a little bit of a strange one. I thought, you know, I don't think he's done anything wrong. Yeah, in the absence of Doakes, would, yeah, be my sort of leading candidate for the right-sided centre-half role, I think. Maybe just a little bit of a lack of, like, athleticism in that team as well. I mean, you've got Corey on the right, who I think has been our best player this season. He looks just capable of individual moments of brilliance, but could we have done with a Sean Robertson? Maybe. I know that you're coming up against an elite team in the league, and you won't be on the front foot too much in the game. But it was a surprising team selection, I do think. You know, the likes of Hendry, Casey, Robertson, Little, maybe they could all have been involved. And yeah, we just showed no signs of ever putting together a meaningful attack in the game, did we? We didn't get in. Even, I think in the first sort of 20 minutes, we got into some good positions. But, I mean, opportunities to put crosses into the box, opportunities to take shots just weren't taken. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens for the Papa John's game. And then going into Shrewsbury, will a few changes be made from that Wednesday game?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people are questioning, does Ian know the best 11? Do we know the best 11? Who is the best 11? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does the next couple games. We have two kind of dividing factions developing right now, it seems. You know, some say the season is over. Fire Ian. We're getting relegated. Others say, hey, have some perspective. This is tiny little four screen in League One for the first time. Just got promoted, playing against Giants, you know, like Sheffield Wednesday for the first time. It's going to be hard, but we have enough to pick up the necessary points against the bottom half of the table. We'll be fine. Which camp do you see yourself in, Laurie?
I mean, more in the second one, definitely, because it's been five games, and any cause for Ian's head a bit soon for that, I think. Because we've got to look at it as well. We've got 4 points from the two games against teams who are in our mini league. It's important to remember that we haven't competed as well as I would have liked against, you know, the top teams, although obviously lost very narrowly against Ipswich. We will pick up the odd points against teams like that, but, you know, 4 points from six is a good return from the teams in our mini league. So I'm more in the latter camp. I also think it's important. You know, I get the small village club in League One thing, but I think we should thrive on being the underdog this season, 100%. Mm-hmm. We need to use that tag, but then I always feel like it really used to frustrate me when Mark Cooper used to play on that tag far too much. You know, when we were underachieving, when he used to say, "Well, we're just a little village team. What do the fans want?" You know, we can't continue to just use that. We do, you know, ultimately staying up this season is the goal. So. But yeah, more in the latter camp than the former, definitely. Because, I mean, yeah, the mini league's the important one, and we've got two games coming up against teams who are in our mini league, which are going to be very, very important.
Yeah, I like that phrasing, mini league, and I agree with you. I think many might disagree with me, and what do I know? I'm a dumb plastic American fan, but. You know, I thought we really controlled Bristol Rovers for most of the game. And yeah, it took a miracle shot to win the game, but I thought we deserved it based on the chances we created. Ipswich, first half was awful, yes. But second half, you know, we really stepped it up. We played much better. We won the second half. Lincoln City, whatever, a wash. Plymouth, I mean, yes, we got blown out, but I didn't think we were awful despite the score. I mean, we dominated possession. We had more shots on target than them. They were just a lot more clinical than us, which I think is going to happen against these big sides. And then, yeah, Wednesday was just like, okay, that was embarrassing. That was awful. But let's forget it and move on. And like you said, let's compete against our mini league. I want to ask you a couple questions in just a second about the mini league, and then we'll wrap up. But before I do, deadline day is this Thursday, I believe. Do you want to see any signings before Thursday?
I think it's going to happen. I think it will happen. I was listening to Rich Hughes' interview with Not the Top 20 yesterday, and he said, look, there could be a couple. I think Ian's gone on record to say there could be a couple. I also noted how Rich said in that interview, I think he was saying it sort of generally, he said that every club would benefit from a pacey forward. And then he also said we'd benefit from that as well. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any movement with that, because I do feel like we could deal with just a sort of different profile of striker whilst Matt is out. Be interesting to see where they come from, because like I think we spoke last time, I don't think there's an obvious area of need particularly. Possibly an outside centre-half and a striker would be the ones maybe. But look, I think deadline day is an opportunity to get in players on loan who could well be above the level. You know, Jack Hitchin is the one we signed 3 years ago on loan, deadline day. He ended up probably being too good for League Two, and he was one of our best players. So it's an opportunity to get players who could be too good for us. Hopefully, Pert Harris will turn out to be one of them as well. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I certainly wouldn't turn my nose up at a nice pacey Premier League or Championship forward. And then could there be an outside centre-half as well? Maybe.
Let's go. Well, this is going to come out Wednesday morning, so this might be outdated by then. But hopefully not. Hopefully everything comes Thursday, and it's super exciting. Okay, so moving to Saturday, Shrewsbury come to town. They are currently 20th in the table. Oddsmakers also have them about the 20th best team. It's got to be a game we get something out of if we're going to stay up. Is a draw good enough, though, Laurie, or – is this an early season relegation six-pointer must win for you?
Well, I look at the next two and I think we need to win one of them. I think this is the more winnable one because I think Accrington are a really good team. Yes, they probably will be in the bottom half, but, you know, they finished 12th last season. Whereas, I think Shrewsbury's more winnable, definitely. It's because we then go into back-to-back games against Peterborough and Charlton away where we just can't be expected to come away with anything, you know. We'll again be one of the promotion favourites in Peterborough and a good team in Charlton. So, yeah, I think it's an opportunity. Shrewsbury haven't started the season brilliantly, a bit similar to us in the fact that they've played three really good teams in Ipswich, Derby and Wickham, a bit like us with Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich and Plymouth. And then they've had some, you know, more, like, you know, games against the bottom half teams like Bristol Rovers and Accrington as well. So, yeah, I think it's an opportunity. I think the next two games are huge because it's difficult to see us looking ahead. It's difficult to see us getting anything from sort of Peterborough and Charlton away. Really tough games. So you just want to have the points in the bank going into those. So there's a little bit less pressure, don't you? So I think it's definitely a winnable one on Saturday. Yeah.
All right, 4 points over the next two matches, and we will all be smiling. I should say next two league matches, of course. The Pizza Cup is Tuesday. But 4 points over the next two league matches, and we will be happy again. One last thing. Let's get out of here on this. Score prediction, the all-important score prediction. Shrewsbury Town, what's it going to be, Laurie?
Yeah, I'll go positive. Why not? I'll go 2-1. 2-1 win, I think. Hopefully Connor Wickham will be back to score, and I'll go with Regan Hendry as well.
Oh, I like that. Maybe it'll be a new striker. As we've seen, they apparently with MPH on Saturday, he is not afraid to throw brand new people into the mix. But all right, cool. I love the optimism. The amazing Laurie Martin, folks. Follow Laurie on Twitter at LaurieMartin263. Laurie, man, brilliant stuff. Thank you, as always, for joining us, man.
Nathan, thanks a lot. Cheers.
Cheers, brother. Laurie Martin! Laurie Martin! Laurie,
that's
all right.
All right. Is he an MP? Is Laurie Martin an MP?
Is he an MP? Pardon me. Are you an MP, sir? Oh, Laurie, man, what a guy. Oh, he's so good. So smart, so well-spoken. He's the man.
Yeah, and it gives me hope, you know. Like, I think Laurie, you know, we let our exuberance get the best of us as dumb Americans. When the going is good, we're, you know, over-exuberant and super happy. We're predicting 9-0, you know, score lines, Dom Bernard, you know, double hat tricks. But we also...
Hey, that could happen. That could happen. He scored two in the last two games.
Yeah.
Love Laurie,
and the pendulum,
man,
can swing the other way, too. But Laurie really just helps us, like, stay calm. And carry on.
Yeah, Lori's the man. Even my wife was invested. She, when I was recording with Lori, she was getting ready for work, and she like had just left. And she texted me after she left, and she's like, "What did Lori think when you asked him about the coach?" And I was like, "Whoa, you're interested? Let's go!" I love it.
There we go. Hey, his name rings out in the New York legal scene as well, right? So it's like, doesn't matter where you are, people know Lori. You know, it was Kane Wilson last year. This year it's Lori Martin,
yes.
The data dump truck.
Lori Martin runs New York. all right, Jimmy, let's go to the head chef of the Forest Green Rovers, a surgeon of vegetables, Chef Jade Crawford, for an awesome little chat.
This was so much fun.
And then after Jade, we'll go to Shrewsbury. But now let's go talk to Jade. Fun chat. Let's rank some vegetables. Let's have some fun. Let's learn about Forest Green Rovers. And let's hear who her man of the match was for the match on Saturday against Wednesday, and for the upcoming match, who she predicts will be the man of the match against Shrewsbury. You are going to like that. Let's go to Jade. We welcome to the pod a surgeon of vegetables, as Sham calls her, Gordon Yamsey, the defending champion of Guess a Pita Recipe, which I promise we won't play again, a certified vegan nutritionist in the eats, and a certified awesome human in the streets. Forest Green Rovers head chef, Jade Crawford. Welcome to the pod. Welcome back to the pod, Jade.
Welcome back, Jade.
Hey, what a weapon. I've never been called a vegetable surgeon before.
Well, you are, though. You are.
Yeah, incredibly precise.
That's right. Oh, so,
Jade. Thanks again, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming back, especially after us putting you through Guess-a-Pita the recipe last time. So, yeah, we were talking off air, Jade. It was so cool. We got to meet you in person in April when we came to the new lawn. It was a surprise for us, a very pleasant surprise for us, maybe an unpleasant surprise for you, but it was awesome nonetheless. We were starstruck.
No, it was great. It was like I said, I wasn't expecting to see you guys. So I just walked into the ballroom and you're like, Jade. And I was like, oh my God, hey.
We were probably a few beers in at that point, jet lagged from all the travel, just amped up on excitement. We were all over the place. It was great to see.
Yeah, actually, at that point, Sham hadn't slept for days because he was on it. Anyway, long story.
I wasn't sure of my bathing status either, so that may have also colored the moment. But it's a wild odyssey to get there, but so happy to be there and so happy to see you that day.
Wow. So did you come that day, or had you flown like the day before?
I basically got there that day because I had huge passport issues. I didn't realize my passport had been expired for over a year. So I had to fly all the way to Texas in the U.S. So I'd go all the way west.
He went from New York to Texas to get his passport, and then all around the U.S. to get back to New York, and then to London. And then he arrived in London, the morning of the match. So he then took the train from
London, Paddington, and just made it just in time. Yeah,
what a hero. Before we get into the kitchen, let's talk some football, Jade. It actually hasn't happened yet, but this is going to come out after the Sheffield Wednesday match, which is this Saturday.
I'm sure we won 10-0.
That's right, where we probably won 10-0, Jade. Give us who's the man of the match, Jade.
Oh my God. No, I don't know.
Are you gonna say a player that you know?
That's I don't know.
Aren't you? Don't you know Dom?
I know a few of the players. Obviously, not very well. But we had this like. Obviously, we had the League One promotion, that was so fun. So a lot of them a lot better then. Even though I don't remember much of it because I was insanely drunk.
That was for everybody, which it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, I've decided to, actually. Because on my lasagna.
Who?
Jamma.
Jamma! Let's go, nice. Jamma.
Compliment on
lasagna. That'll earn you man of the match every day. Love it. All right. Jamma it is.
Maybe he's the manicotti of the match, too.
Let's go.
The vegan manicotti.
Let's go, Shimmy. That's why we pay you the big bucks. That's awesome. Shout out to Jamma. Let's go. Compliment you on the lasagna. So I want to ask you.
That was really good. No, it's just really nice. No, nice to hear feedback, you know, because you don't always get it. So you really appreciate it when you do.
We spoke to you last all the way back in episode 15. We are now on episode 66.
Wow.
So for reasons, we don't understand. We have we have way more listeners now than we did back then. So can you quickly remind us and our new listeners, like, how did you become the head chef at Forest Green Rovers?
I just bribed them with some brownies.
I actually remember you did. That is actually true, right? You brought them to your interview.
I did, yeah. If I'm completely honest, I didn't. I'd been in Australia for 2 years. I'd never really spent much time in Stroud. I got back, and when I came back from traveling, I was kind of like, you know, like I just need a job, basically. So I started working for Amazon, delivering just parcels. And I used to deliver to Forest Green, and I just thought it was a big leisure centre. I had no idea, honestly. So JP, the first team analyst, who's actually leaving us, which is really sad, but he's a family friend. So his wife is like best mates with my sister. So we were doing like this big vegan buffet at my mum's house. And he was like, oh, Forest Green are looking for a vegan chef. Obviously, like, we'd spoken about it. And I was like, oh. Anyway, so I kind of left it and I was like, you know, like, probably a bit out of my league. And then left it. And then it got to like the final day and I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to apply. Why not? Like, it doesn't matter. But I've obviously been chef before, but I'd never been a head chef before. And obviously I got an interview and I was like, psyched. It's like, oh my God. And then obviously took my brownies in. Second interview where I had to do like a kind of buffet for like Dale, like the CEO at the time. There was like loads of people coming in and out that obviously like work at the stadium. I know them all now, but at the time it was obviously really nerve-wracking. And I had to do a buffet for them and kind of cost it and just like everything like that. And then they offered me the job like there and then. So yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It's also like, it's just like the way Dale just has a great sense. I feel like he hires people from these kind of unique backgrounds that you wouldn't typically expect. With you, with our CEO Henry, with James Mooney, our secretary, even Rich Hughes. Like, I think everybody comes from these unique backgrounds, but he's such a good judge of character.
Yeah,
and he just nails it with the hiring.
So
it sounds like we're looking for a new first team analyst. Any interest in switching careers, applying for that job?
I probably need someone that knows a bit more about football than me.
Oh, well, so Dale's a very honest guy, Jade. Has he ever told you? Has he ever been like, Jade, this sucks. Never again.
Oh, Dale's definitely told me when he's not into something, for sure. And
I can picture it so vividly.
He's very honest. But yeah, no, he's like, we had really good chat, like, again, at the party. Like, me and Dale were drinking margaritas all night. We had so much fun. I've been off for a year as well. So, like, big catch-ups. And yeah, I mean, I don't run, obviously, everything by him because he's such a busy guy and, you know, he doesn't need to, like, the little bits, but like, I know that if he's happy with something, he probably won't say anything. But if he's got something to say, then, you know, he'll say it. But it doesn't happen often, so I see that as a good thing.
Oh yeah,
100%. You're hitting.
Like I gotta say, when we were there, I know that you were away on maternity leave, but the food we had at the ground was phenomenal, and I'm sure that was like, you know, inspired by you and led by you. So it was awesome. So I can't wait to go back. We're coming back this April and we're going to try your food, Jade. I can't wait.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm back to?
Yeah, it'll be April. Actually, I thought I knew.
Yeah, so whatever Easter like is. It's usually around the Easter. Yeah, usually around the Easter holiday. Yeah,
right, whatever that Easter holiday week is. Whenever that is. We'll be there.
Yeah, that's going to be so, that's amazing. I know what menus I'm doing for the whole season, so I'm just trying to think, but God.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you plan it out this far in advance?
Yeah, I've been so good this season. I've written all the menus, I know what in them. Like, I've made an effort to be really organized because obviously now that I'm like a mum, I'm trying to juggle mum life and work life. Work life is so hectic as it is, so I need to just be as organized as I possibly can be.
That's amazing. I can't believe you already have the menus for the whole year. But how do you come up with these recipes? Do you find them? Do you come up with them on your own? And then how do you amplify these to feed hundreds of people?
That's the thing with the Forest Green recipe. So my website, that's more like stuff that I've done at home, and honestly it needs updating. I haven't put working on my website for a long time, and I really need to, but you know, just finding time. It's just, but yeah, the forest green ones, it's bad, but I literally just kind of, I'm really bad at like recipes. So like when, for example, Tom's asked me for the lasagna recipe that I made the other day, I start writing them down because I just put things in a pan and make it because that's how I like cooking. Like I like to just cook how I like. I know what goes in the lasagna, and I know that I need to make a lot of it, so I'll just shove bags of like onion, loads of garlic, shove loads of herbs in it, and like, it just comes out nice. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds more artistic, you know. It's like you're putting your heart and soul into it, and it comes together. The work comes together at the end.
Yeah, the one thing that is hard is, for example, like I was making the barbecue cauliflower wings this week, and it's like,
it looked amazing, by the way. I saw them on your Instagram. Thank amazing. You.
They actually got a lot of good feedback, which is nice. But it's hard to know because obviously I prep those in advance, so like, it's hard to know how many to cook for because obviously people like buy tickets last minute, and so it's hard to know like exactly how many. But obviously nothing goes to waste because it gets frozen anyway, and then I can cook it on another match day, so it's not really an issue. But so yeah, the quantities can be a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Luckily, nothing really runs out. It's better to have more and freeze it rather than like people not be able to eat.
All right, so while we have the expert here, let's play. We'll come back to some questions in a minute, but let's play a little game with the expert of vegetables, Jay Crawford. So let's rank some vegetables together here. Oh, you're on a phone. Can you see this, Jay?
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I can.
All right, we're going to rank some vegetables. For the sake of time, we'll each choose one for each tier. The S tier, which is like the best, and then we'll go down. Tier. Yeah, so...
As in best, what do you mean the best? Like nutritionally or...
I don't know, favorite vegetable. However you define the best vegetable.
We have not made a rubric. We just trust you as an expert.
That's right. So for example, I'll do one first to give you an example. I'm going to go onions in the S tier.
So that's your favorite?
What's that?
Is that your favorite?
Well, it's not my favorite. In fact, I don't like that.
I'm really rich.
I don't like them raw, but they go with everything when you cook them. Like they're the best like cooking agent tool. So that's how I would rank.
Base for S-tier. Every dish, basically.
Exactly. All right, Jade. So you got the hang of it. Pick a vegetable by any rank.
What do you think is a top tier vegetable? Your S tier.
Garlic every day, all day.
Garlic. All
Ooh,
right.
Great choice.
Boy, my favorite. Is she smart.
I love it. Why? It's healthy. It goes in everything.
Oh, why? Sorry. Yeah, because it's just I don't I like. I love garlic bread. I love garlic in every single food that I eat. I'm just obsessed with garlic. I think people probably know that by eating my food. It can probably be garlicky. The ladies in the kitchen take the mick out and we're like, "Oh, more garlic, Jade." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, of course." Yeah.
No, I think it's a great choice, Jade, because I am personally a terrible cook. But anytime you throw some onions in a pan and then you add just that little bit of garlic, everybody comes into the kitchen and is like, "That smells really good."
That smells good. I'm like, "It's just onions and garlic."
It's like, I'm a terrible cook, and it's like, oh yeah, of course, it's all me. No, it's the garlic. It's the garlic that's carrying the load there. So.
Exactly. Right.
Shimmy, give me an S tier for you.
Ooh, man, you guys came strong out of the gate, so I gotta see what's there. See, I'm actually going a little bit kind of cultural on this one. Because I come from a South Indian household, and my mom makes some fire cabbage. It's like cabbage with coconut and lentils.
I'm the one that got it done and did a great job.
Cabbage. Is it? This one's amazing. Cabbage, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's cabbage. Hey, there you go, Nathan. You're vegan bona fides right there.
Yeah, man, cabbage is good. Raw, cooked, roasted, boiled. Cabbage is great.
I never thought I'd see it in the S tier, though. I gotta say.
And we say bye-bye.
I think I see a shallot over there. Are those shallots? Next to
love
like,
how you
cucumber.
Guys say shallots.
I say it all the time. Yeah.
What, you say shallots? Yeah.
Shallots.
You're a little
fancy,
but... shallots?
A shallot, yeah.
You know, I like that. I think that works better. That works as like a greeting card in the UK. Like, I love you, shallots.
Let's go, Shimmy.
We can't do that here. We can't do it here.
Let's go, Shimmy.
We're from the Midwest. Shallots. Shallots is great.
Shallots. Give me some of them there little funny looking onions.
All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
All right, let's skip. Let's skip down to the bottom. The worst one. Go with you, Sham. Let's go D.
Ooh. I mean,
we're going straight to D for the sake of time. Let's go, Shimmy.
Okay. What we see here. What would I not? I think a tough one for me because I think a lot of people screw it up is eggplant. Eggplant can be amazing, but yes. I think it's really difficult. They have to be in skilled hands. So that's why I'm bringing it down. A lot of times they're not.
I'm with you. Are you, Jade, what do we got? Worst vegetable.
And like a lot of us are really smart. I'm really smart.
Fennel sprouts. I think it would be the fennel.
Let's go. Is this fennel?
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fennel. Yeah.
All right, fennel. It looks like, fennel.
A vegetable really... version of a heart. Like someone.
Yeah, it does. I love it. Why fennel?
I just don't really like the flavor of fennel. Really, it's just kind of like aniseed, and I hate that. Like.
One with a divisive one here. I think people either love or hate beets. I hate beets. I'm not a beet guy. Not a beet guy. All right, there we go. We've ranked the vegetables. Let's get
the definitive ranking of vegetables.
I don't care.
Definitive ranking of vegetables.
What a pod. an interesting pod.
All right, let's get back to some questions here. So, Jade, when we came over to England, we were amazed at how many like good vegan restaurants there were. All over, not just London, in Stroud, in Bristol, everywhere we went. And no offense, but when you think of good food, England is not, you know, usually near the top of the list. When you think of vegans, England is also not, you know, near the top of the list for most people. But that's not the reality. England was the food was amazing. The vegan food was amazing.
And Bristol was really, off the chain too.
Bristol.
Bristol was amazing. London was amazing. Even Stroud had good spots.
Did you go to Uwe while you were in Bristol?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was the first spot we hit up, actually.
Yeah.
Although, that's another thing we've been pronouncing wrong. We've called it Owie Wowie. Owie what?
Owie?
Owie?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So bad for you, but so good.
Good.
Yeah, we had that. It was amazing. We were blown away by the vegan options in England. Jade, why do you think England is so good for vegan food?
I guess we explore a lot of different cuisines in the UK because we haven't got our own staple kind of, I guess, like cup of tea, scones or skins, a roast, I guess, is kind of English, fish and chips. But we haven't really got like our staple kind of, you know, like that's for, yeah, like I didn't do, you know, when I'm going back to my menus and I've got different cuisines, I didn't do an English cuisine because what are you going to do? You could do fish. I guess we haven't got our own, so we explore other people. So that's what, yeah. So that's why there's loads of different. And then, I don't know. I guess veganism is huge in the UK, actually. Especially, you know, like Bristol and like all the trendy places. You know, it's all kind of like ahead of everything. London's got, oh my God, they've got like a vegan restaurant in every corner. I swear.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just guess that we just like to, I don't know, we like food and there's a lot of
meat. Yeah, man, you have to be like the vegan capital of the world. Like I was so shocked.
The options. Oh,
in London.
Incredible.
Yeah, in London, like you said, like every corner, I had no issues in London. I had no issues anywhere, you know, wherever I want, but
like incredible. If you go to like Devon or something, like you kind of like struggle a bit there because they're kind of like a bit like dated. Some places have like vegan options, but some places they don't even have like plant-based milk. So you're kind of going back in time when you go to like Devon and stuff like that. But yeah, all the main cities, like you're gonna get a vegan option everywhere. It's easy to be vegan here for sure.
So we know the fans love the food. We know you've converted like some stubborn meat eaters who have been, you know, Four Screen fans for years. You've converted them into loving plant-based food. We know people travel from other countries just to try the food. Away fans, you know, we actually hear this from away fans all the time. They circle the trip to Four Screen on their calendar, not because of the trip, because the trip sucks. To get the nails worth is very hard. The ground is not the best for them.
You reckon an appetite on the
But they do it for the food. They do it. They've heard so many good things about the food, and they're like, I got to go to Four Screen and try the food. How does that make you feel? That's got to be the biggest compliment.
It is the biggest compliment. It's amazing. I can't believe that people would actually, yeah, I mean, the fact that it's got an amazing reputation, and even like you guys, like, and obviously you've been fans of Forest Green for a long time, regardless of the food, but like, you're in America, like, I was going to ask, like, what even made you like Forest Green? Is it because it's vegan? Is it because, like, what made you guys? Yeah.
Yeah, the vegan aspects stuff. And the environmental aspects.
Yeah. Ability and
animal rights have always been like important to me, not always, but for like the last like 8 years I've been like into animal rights. I was awoken to it, and when I learned about the vegan aspect of the club, that's like what first drew me in. And then I learned about the eco stuff as well. I was like, holy crap, this club is doing amazing stuff. You know, if we're gonna give our time and money to a team, let's do it to a team that's like actually doing good in the world.
And to have it not be a gimmick or greenwashing, you know, it's not just, hey, we're going to do this just for the sake of saying we are, but really living those values. We found that with the people in this associated with this club, like you, Jed.
No, thanks. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to, because obviously you asked me a question, but I kind of like followed it with asking you a question.
No, that's great. It's a conversation.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, it's flattering. That people like the food, and to be honest, when I was off, like, you know, and like you have to hand something that you've worked so long for over to someone, and it's like, like Jason did a great job, and I've heard good things about the food while I was away, so that's good as well. But yeah, it was hard. I was like,
handing your baby off
for another baby.
Yeah. That's right.
Swapping babies.
Swapping babies. So we all know, a vegan diet is good for muscle recovery. We have a lot of players who have become more plant-based for that reason. There's a lot of American athletes also who've become vegan or plant-based for that, or mostly plant-based for that reason. And I think becoming vegan is a process. It's for a lot of people. It was for me. You need a lot of little touch points to get there. You know, it's not just one event that changes us. There's multiple events like in a sequence that give us the motivation to do it, shows us the path to do it. And you are quite literally one of those critical touch points for so many people. Like they come to the ground, they try your food. For some of them, it may be the first vegan meal they've ever had. For others, for most actually, it'll be the first time they've ever had vegan food at a football ground. Yeah. And it can set off this chain reaction that you're not even aware of, like leading, people who have come to the ground to eat more vegetables, to kill fewer animals. So it's really special when you take a step back and look at it. Do you ever, like, you are literally impacting, human lives and animal lives. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever take a step back and like, think about your bigger impact on the world?
I guess so. Yeah, it's amazing when you say it, 'cause obviously when you do something for so long, it just becomes like, obviously, I know the fact that because we're cooking for football fans, a lot of them wouldn't have tried vegan food, and because they wouldn't have wanted to, but they have to when they're at Forest Green, they haven't got a choice. So obviously then we're opening the eyes of people that wouldn't usually bother to open their eyes. So if they say like the pie and they thought, God, that vegan pie was really good, I might go to the shop and try one at home. Like that's making a difference in itself, isn't it? So yeah, it's when you say it, it's pretty amazing, really. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Love that. And so are we. So let's talk about the vegan lifestyle really quick. So the big nutritional challenges of being vegan: not getting enough B12, omega-3, iron, calcium, zinc. What do you recommend to any new vegans out there to ensure that they're not nutritionally deficient?
So you protein wise, I don't really find that a problem, to be honest, because beans, legumes, nuts, peanut butter, like even if you just like peanut butter, like you can put that in your curries, you can, into meat substitutes, they've got a lot of protein in, and then you've got B12 is obviously a little bit harder, but if you eat sushi, the nori has B12 in, or you can get supplements, which a lot of vegans do. You don't want to fall behind on B12, because once you fall behind on B12, it's really hard to get it back. And I know that people that have to have injections for it and stuff like that, but there's so many ways of getting around it. Like if you're following a plant-based diet and your diet is mainly whole foods, it's going to be very hard to fall behind on nutrients, because that's where you get most of your nutrients from, regardless of whether you're plant-based or not. You're going to get your nutrients from the vegetables that you eat, the, you know, like fiber. Well, I mean, what the only really thing you get from meat is protein, right? You get some iron from red meats, but then you can get that from your vegetables. So really, it's the whole foods you're getting your nutrients from anyway. And if you feel like you're low, you can get supplements. You just need to make sure you're eating properly. Like, don't, I think people fall into a trap of, if they go vegan, they'll just literally eat meat substitutes and I don't know, like. And, like, you know, as well, they're good as a treat, but you can't live on that. Like, if you're choosing to take certain things out of your diet, then you need to make sure that you're cooking properly for yourself. Vegetables, fruit, like whole grains, just always put beans in, like lentils. Lentils are amazing because they're quite, it gives like a meaty texture. So yeah, it's a lot to think about when it comes to nutrition, really. But it's mad to think the amount of things that, like, how people get away with just eating crap their whole life and they're just fine. And like, I mean, they seem fine on the outside, but they might not be in the inside. But it is important because it's the fuel for your body, you know?
Yeah.
You put cheap fuel in your car, so why would you ditch your body?
Oh, I love that. I love that. I don't know how I've made it to my age now, because when I grew up in the country, and my mom did not cook. We had like McDonald's like every day. She ate McDonald's when she was pregnant with me. I don't know how I'm a functioning adult based on my diet as a child. But anyway, it's great to see though that, you know, it is possible, and not only possible, it's actually better, you know, to raise a child on a healthy plant-based vegan diet. I love that. So let's play one last game and then we will get out of here, Jade. It's a little game called Family Feud. We've been playing with every Forest Green Rovers employee, the staff, the players, everybody, and we're keeping track of the scores, and we're posting it on social media. So nice. Only a little bit of pressure here.
Yeah. So reputation at stake.
That's right. Your reputation is at stake. So we're going to play Family Feud, which is not very vegan friendly, by the way, as we found out last week with Luke McGee. It kept asking us, like, name what was it about the animal legs? Name food that you eat their leg.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, it's not very vegan friendly. So sorry, Jade. Also, okay. I feel like it's a little bit sexist too. There were some weird questions a couple weeks ago. So apologies, Jade, in advance.
We did not choose the questions.
But there were some like kind of weird gender-based questions in the past as well. Anyway, let's get to it, and hopefully we don't get canceled here. And yeah, try to answer questions based on
what you think 100 Americans would say. They surveyed 100 Americans. So what do you think their top answer would be?
So guns. Anything with guns
is for everyone. And tenacity.
Oh wait, we got a stupid ad here. Skip ad. Alright, you'll get the hang of it. So Luke McGee is currently our leader with 1,141 points. So that is the score to beat. Jamma, your favorite Jamma, the lasagna complimenter, is currently last place with 600 something. I'm not sure. But anyway, all right, let's get to it. Family Feud with head chef Jake Crawford. Ignore this. Here we go. Play. Can you hear the sound? Yeah, all right, here we go. Us versus Corey. Don't worry about Corey. Doesn't matter. Here we go, round one. Name a food you wouldn't eat if the head was still attached. I told you it's not vegan friendly. All right, 60 seconds. Name a food you wouldn't eat if the head was still attached. Cow? What'd you say? Sorry?
Cow, yeah.
Cow, okay.
What?
Oh. What? Obviously, you wouldn't eat a cow's head.
Yeah.
But keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going, chicken. Yeah.
Chicken.
Oh, I think that's a good one.
Lamb. Hey, there we go. Number two answer. Chicken.
Lamb. What the hell?
That's weird. Should be like every animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is really hard because you have to like think on the spot. I was going to say fish, but people do eat fish heads, don't they?
Let's try it.
Hey, it's really good answer.
Got 13 seconds.
I don't know.
Let's go. Let's get one more answer.
We got 10 seconds. One more.
Pig.
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 Hey, there we go. 4 seconds. Can we get one more? Nine. I don't think so. That's okay. Not bad. 72. Good start. Crawfish was the last answer. Then shrimp. Then beef. Where's that cow?
Yeah. It should have accepted it. That's
not fair. Well, it's all right.
The animal, not the product.
Exactly. Beef is not an animal. That was dumb. Anyway.
But Americans are dumb, so there you go.
That's right. 72 is not bad at all, though. The max score was 100, so 72 out of 100, not bad at all. Here we go. Next round is double points. Round two. Double points. Here we go. Name something grown-ups sleep with in order to feel secure. 66.
Blanket, duvet.
Blanket. Duvet?
Should I put duvet? Same thing. Same difference.
Right. Same thing. Okay.
Same difference, yeah.
Oops.
Pillow.
Pillow.
Oh, okay.
The number two answer.
Clothes? Pajamas.
Pajamas. No. Shout out to Gemma.
Alarm clock?
Alarm clock.
Oh. Keep going. Still got 24 seconds.
What do you sleep with? I don't know. Like a sheet?
I'm thinking like animals. What'd you say? Pet.
A bed.
Did you say what? What'd you say?
Bed.
Oh, bed. I thought you said pet. Oh, we lost 5 points there.
One more answer, Kate. One more answer.
I'm going to throw in pet. No. Oh, I lost you 5 points. I'm sorry. Point. I'm gone.
Done. I told you.
I'm gone.
It's America, baby. It's
America. Oh, God. I can't believe that. I cannot believe gun was an answer. We jokingly said at the beginning, just guess gun and you'll be good. America, baby. Oh, only 58 points that round. Sorry, Jade, but it's all right. Round three is triple points. We're going to get back up right here. I feel it. That was a tough one.
Yeah, it was tough.
I can't believe gun was an answer. All right, here we go. Round three, triple points. Name something that rumbles.
Ooh.
PlayStation controller.
That's so good.
I can confirm that.
That's so good. I don't think it's wrong either. But I misspelled it anyway. Oh, shit. That's so good.
Dildo?
Car?
Oh.
Engine?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, car.
Oh, wait, what did you say? What did you say?
It's just something a little more dulled out.
Wait, what did you say?
It rhymes with Wildo.
Oh, gotcha. I don't think that's going to be in here. We'll try it.
Lauren. I love that answer, though. What about part of a person entering the new lawn?
A car? No, we still got a car.
We said car. Car. Stadium? No,
that you got that.
Before they sample some of your dishes, something.
Oh, the
rumble.
Stomach. Oh, man, this was tough.
Yeah. That was a
earthquakes,
tough one.
Stomachs, thunder and storms. Oh man, this is tough, Jade. I gotta say, it's not really fair because it's completely random. Like one of our guests had like the easiest questions ever. It was like, name
what
the
age
that
you ride a
first.
Bike?
Yeah, first ride a bike, and he just said 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, got them all. So it's not fair, Jade. You've gotten tough questions here.
Yeah,
but we'll take it. Points. Now you're at 5-1. Greetings from Atlanta. Here we go. All right, fast money round. You're at 5-5. That's actually really good. Going to the fast money round. I'm confident. Here we go, Jade. Fast money. Earn 100 points to win a bonus. Name a piece of sports equipment made from leather.
Super vegan and friendly.
Sorry?
Football boots.
Football boots. So like cleats. Cleats. Try cleats or something. Yeah.
Cleats. Yeah, we call them cleats. Oh, crap. Oh, my God. Sorry. I'm wasting time. Cleats. Something you ride on where you have to deal with rude people.
Trainers, a baseball ball.
No, just one. Name something people fear that starts with the letter S.
Snakes.
Ooh, I think that's a strong answer.
Very strong answer. Name something that ends with the word code.
Postal.
The good news is I stopped smoking. The bad news is now I'm doing too much. Oh, we're gonna run out of time. That's all right. All right, name something that's made of leather. Cleats, two. Name something that you ride on where you have to deal with three people. 22. Name something people are scared of. Snakes, number one answer. Name something that ends with code. Area code. It's very American. I'm sorry. Oh, man. 79 points, but I think you'll get a little bonus. No! It's 584. Jade, I'm sorry. But it's all right. We did well. These were hard questions and also very anti-vegan questions. So you were at a disadvantage.
Really challenge.
584. Jade, Chef Jade Crawford, a respectable...
fun, haven't I?
What's that?
I've got the worst out of everyone.
But you had very tough questions. Very antagonistic questions. Yeah.
Yes, you had very tough questions. All right, let's get out of here. Before we do, Jade, the match coming up on Saturday, when this comes out, will be Shrewsbury. Give us a score prediction and the man of the match. It can be Jamma again.
No, I'm not. I've already given him a match, but I'll go for 2-1 to FGR.
Let's go. Yay, man of the match. Nice. Who's going to be the man of the match? Ibu Adams. Let's go. Ibu Adams. I love that show. Jade Crawford. By the way, Jade. Well, anyway, Chef Jade, thank you so much, man. This has been awesome. It's been fun. Chef Jade Crawford, head chef of the Four Screen Rovers, thank you so much for coming on the pod. We will be back in April to eat your delicious food. Maybe we'll even watch a little football then, too, but we're mainly coming to eat the food. You are literally changing the lives of so many people and animals with your work. Keep doing what you're doing. You can find Jade on Instagram at Jade's Green Kitchen, on her website, jadesgreenkitchen.com, where there's a ton of amazing recipes. Jade, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. It's been amazing as always.
Jade.
When you guys come in April, we'll have to try and plan like some drinks after the match or something.
We are in.
Absolutely.
Before, during, and after. We're in.
Yeah.
Jade Crawford, Chef Jade.
Man, what a fun time. She has such a great personality, always willing to talk. And the last time we saw her was when we were at the new lawn. And, you know, we had to see her just kind of in passing. It was a hectic match day. She described us how crazy match days can be. So it was so awesome to see her in person, but we didn't get that chance to catch up. And I felt like we were making up for that opportunity, you know, that missed opportunity to this chat. It was awesome.
I agree, man. She's so funny. She's so cool. She's so down to earth. Like, I love Jade. I hope we can meet up and grab some drinks with her when we go to Gloucestershire.
And avoid fennel. We can go.
And avoid fennel. That's right. She hates fennel, as we found out. She loves garlic. Hates fennel. All right. Let's go to our man Ollie from the Salopcast Shrewsbury Town podcast to learn. Do a little fashion police and then learn all about Shrewsbury Town, and then we'll wrap up and get out of here. Take it away, Ollie and me from the past. We go behind enemy lines and welcome Ollie Warner from the Salopcast podcast, a Shrewsbury Town podcast. Welcome, Ollie.
Hey, man. Hi. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Great. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for taking time away from the Pizza Cup. We're both both recorded during the Pizza Cup. I didn't know our game would be so exciting, or I wouldn't have scheduled this. But of course,
Shrewsbury
our game
Town
is 3-1.
Just scored this second as well.
Let's go! Look at that. Good luck.
Yes, yeah, 65th minute, and some kid who I don't recognize scored.
Let's go. So right now it's what, 1-0 in your match, and 3-1 at the time of this recording in the Forest Green match. Billy Cargill, Don Bernard, Oliver Casey, your goal scorers, and Armani Little even got a red card. So we're down to 10 men. Let's go. It's extra exciting. Okay, so let's get into Shrewsbury Town. Let's get back to the league, away from the Papa John's Pizza Cup. So you actually first messaged us last season, before last season. We were a League Two team. We just signed Rob Edwards. We had no idea what was coming. And you were a League One side. We had no idea we'd be meeting you this year, but you messaged us because you said Rob Edwards was once linked with you guys as well a few years back. Wild. So what happened? You found another guy?
It's funny, isn't it? Because I thought I'd just show you. He was that. Well, funny enough, we're playing Wolves under 21s tonight, and he was a youth coach, and he was highly recommended as maybe a good Shrewsbury Town manager, but we decided to go for a bit more of an experienced head, so we went for Steve Cottrell. But I think we'd had quite a few young up-and-coming managers, And I think the club decided, no, we'll go for an old head this time. But yeah, obviously Rob's done fantastic for you guys, and obviously doing what you obviously know in the championship. But yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, well, I'd agree he's a good guy. I think a lot of Four Screen fans wouldn't though after the way he left.
Yeah, football is ruthless. I was chatting a lot to a Morecambe fan last night, and football is absolutely ruthless. Sport is ruthless.
Yeah,
and, you got to take your chances, I guess.
I will say he was always very kind and very, like, always super kind to us. So he was never bad to us. So he was a good guy to us. But I think it was just, and nobody faults him for leaving. Like, you can't, you're going to get that crazy pay raise. Exactly. It's the way you do it. Yep, exactly. And the way he left is what rubbed everyone wrong. Anyway, let's move on from that. Let's move on to Shrewsbury Town. So before we go on, Ollie, what we do here is, anytime we have a new club we're seeing for the first time, we do a little segment called Fashion Police, where we rate your kit. So are you down to rate your home kit? You down to rate your home kit with us?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Fashion Police. Nails, hair, hips, heels, face, done, lips, real, purse, full, big bills. Yes, I'm a big deal. So Shrewsbury Town home kit, the amber and blue, I believe you call it, right? Amber, not yellow, amber and blue. I don't hate the color scheme. The badge is really cool. I love the three lion heads and the little Latin text. I don't know what it means, but I like it. It looks cool. The stripes, you've gone for something a little different, which I like. The blue and yellow, they kind of pixelate into each other. The gold, you know, the little gold fuzzy hazy part reminds me of like a hazy IPA. Reminds me of drinking. Reminds me of fun. So I like that. But what kills it for me here, Ollie, is the sponsor. Toughens. Supermarkets. Firstly, a supermarket chain is kind of a lame sponsor. And secondly, the name Toughens is just a terrible, it just sounds so soft. That actually sounds very English as well.
Yeah.
I know it has the word tough in it, but I think the in suffix like kills the tough vibe. And not only that, the font is awful. It's such a weak font. It's like the least intimidating font you could have. But all that said, it doesn't look bad on the pitch. I'm going with a very respectable 6.8 out of 10. Doesn't blow me away, doesn't offend me. A good, solid League One kit. What do you got, Ollie?
Yeah, it's a good kit. Yeah, the blue and amber stripes. We've had a lot of colours in our history. And we've had white and blue. In Spinal Tap, the movie, the Shrewsbury Town kit's in that movie, in blue
Great
and amber
movie.
Stripes as well.
Yes.
And it's kind of, I guess we're branding today. Like blue and amber stripes become a bit of a brand for Shrewsbury, so it's a bit different. It's good. And actually, the badge is interesting. So we had this really terrible badge because the club wanted a badge they could trademark. And we had a big campaign to change the badge. So the badge was kind of forced upon the club by the fans. And then the three, they're not actually lions, they're loggerheads, which are mythological creatures. So and it says Flowery Shropshire underneath because Shropshire's famous for its flowers.
What if I knew all that? I would have bumped up the score. Unfortunately, I can't change the score
now. You can't change it now.
Yeah, I can't change it now. But if I knew that, that's amazing. Yeah. So I need a score here, Ollie, out of 10.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 away win to Shrewsbury Town.
What? No, a score on the kit.
Oh, sorry. On the kit. Sorry. I thought we've changed category straight away. So for me, from a Shrewsbury Town point of view, I'm going for an 8 out of 10 kit.
8 out of 10.
Because it's
fair.
A good kit compared to some of the ones we've had in recent history. And Toughens is a small, smooth supermarket chain kind of in Shropshire on the Welsh borders. So, the guy gives a lot of money to the clubs. I'm not going to say too bad, but I understand what he's saying.
All right, fair enough. Man, if I knew the stuff about the badge and the flower thing, I would have bumped it up for sure. I wish I knew that before.
There's so much history in the English football clubs. It's pretty, pretty impressive.
There is. Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, 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 and then sashay. But I don't work for free. That's not the tea, hunty. So make it rain on me, and I might let you see. And speaking of history, and there's so much history in all these towns as well, which is one of the joys of following lower league football, especially as an American who doesn't know a lot about the history. It's one of the things my pod partner, Sham, and I love. What's the most interesting thing about Shrewsbury, the town? Or the club, actually?
Oh, most interesting. You've put me on the spot there. The most interesting thing about the club.
Okay, it doesn't have to be the most. Just something interesting. Yeah.
Maybe interesting. So then, so actually the name of our podcast, Salop, it's actually Latin. So we've got a Latin chant. So you'll hear a Shrewsbury Town fans chant on Saturday, Salop, Salop. And Salop is basically like the area of Shrewsbury. So Shrewsbury in Latin is Salop. It's quite interesting, quite a random stat. I don't think there's many clubs in Europe that chant in Latin.
No, that's definitely unique. Why? Like, what's the tie with Latin? It's on just, your badge?
There was a big Roman city near Shrewsbury. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just got Roman links. So yeah, it's just come from that. And then Shropshire, Shrewsbury is a bit of ambiguity about what it is. But yeah, Shropshire, Shrewsbury is kind of known as Salop in Roman times. So yeah, it's kind of stuck.
I love that. Oh yeah, these little nicknames are so fun. It's so one of my favorites is the Grecians of Exeter because they have no idea where it came from, which is excellent.
Just random as hell.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, can you sum up Shrewsbury Town Football Club in three words or less? Putting you on the spot again, I'm sorry.
Small, plucky family.
Love that. Small, plucky family. I love that. I think a lot of Forest Green fans will appreciate that too, because I think kind of the same three words could be applied to Forest Green. So I love that. So tell us about the expectations for this season. Where do you expect Shrewsbury to finish?
I'd expect us to finish in League One, and you'll get to know is, as you know, tough, tough division. You've got the teams at the top. You've got some like really solid teams, like Oxford, Steve like that, and that kind of category. There's almost like four bits of the division. You've got the top, the kind of the middle, and that top bit, and then you've got like the lower bit, and then you've got the bottom kind of stuff. Yeah. And I'd say Shrewsbury, hopefully this season will be just kind of not in the relegation fight all season. Maybe get into the kind of like lower echelons of the set of the top half or the top of the bottom half, but. It all depends on if we sign a few players now. There's also rumours circulating that our best striker's got injured with an ACL injury. So that would be a pretty nightmare if that's true. So yeah, the transfer, we haven't signed a player for about 55 days.
Wow.
And we've got a really tiny squad. So we've got really good players, really good manager, in terms tactically, in terms of motivating the players, but recruitment has been a bit of an Achilles heel for us. So we need to sign a couple of good players and also got a couple of players injured as well. So yeah, it all depends on injuries, where we go and how we get on this season. But expectations, most Shrewsbury Town fans would probably say 15th, 16th, 14th, somewhere like that.
Wow, okay. Cool. Well, yeah, deadline day is this week.
Yeah.
The transfer window closes this week, so I expect slam a lot of
shut.
Action.
It's slammed shut.
That's right, it's slammed shut. You're right. It's going to be an exciting week. I think we're expected to sign a few people as well. So it's going to be fun to see what happens. So sum up the season so far. How's the season been going for you guys so far?
Not too bad. Played okay against Morecambe, but didn't quite get the result. Got a man sent off. And the referees did mistaken identity, confused our central defender in blue and amber with an Eastern European goalkeeper in all green and sent off the wrong player.
What?
And we lost Accrington Stanley. And then we drew with Derby, lost with Ipswich. Ipswich are amazing. Unbelievable.
We also lost Ipswich.
Yeah, I did a really nice tweet about them. And I think I got about 900 likes. My phone wouldn't stop going. It was quite funny. I think they'll probably win the league. That's what I said. So they like that. And then we played on the weekend and drew away at Bristol Rovers. So, you know, playing Ipswich and Derby, you know, a couple of games we probably should have done a little bit better. But yeah, it's early days of the season yet, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, especially with your expectations, a draw against Derby is not bad at all.
Yeah, that was a defensive masterclass. We confined them to very little chances. They had, I don't know if you guys like come across the stat XG. We only had 1.08.
I'm going to talk about XGs in just a minute,
1.08, which is obviously not very much. It was an interesting game, but we're absolutely knackered. We did that on Tuesday night, and then against Ipswich, we're absolutely knackered. And they just passed around us and scored. Of course, some good goals.
Yeah, I know. We had Ipswich and Wednesday. We played both of them, which I think, you know, one of those two is probably going to win the league. Yeah. They were both outstanding.
And you know what? You don't know if you've seen the Sheffield Wednesday have just signed a really good young striker as well on loan, as if they needed more goals.
Yeah, they could have scored like 10 against us. Now they've gotten more firepower. That's scary. Luckily we only have to play them one more time. So
yeah.
So moving to Saturday, for Forest Green to get 3 points, what needs to happen? What are your big weaknesses that we can try to exploit?
Well, we play three at the back with three big central defenders. We play two defensive midfielders and two defensive wing backs. So we're very defensive. I think if you're going to break us through, you're going to have to be quick. You're going to have to either hit us on the counter attack or try and hit us in the gap. So in between the wing backs and the centre backs, exploit that space. If you do some quick passing fast across the pitch, you can get back. So that's how we've conceded so far this season. That's how Bristol Rovers scored against us. That's how Carlisle scored against us in the League Cup. Pulling us out of position and some quick passing, that's the best way to break us down.
So for any Forest Green fans who don't know, give us some names to watch. Who are going to be your star players on Saturday?
Yes, so star players, we've got a left wing back called Nurse, who we signed from Bristol City. He's a really, really good left wing back. He's more of a full back, really, but he played really well on Saturday and he's getting better playing that role. And then I'd say in central defence, a defender called Pennington, who used to be at Everton, had a big contract at Everton, and then has worked his way down the leagues. He's funny enough, he plays right in a back three, but he's our most attacking player. He's got the highest XA of the team, which is really funny. And that's from set pieces, because we're really good at set pieces. So Pennington's a nice player to keep an eye out for. And then in midfield, I'd say Luke Leahy and Bayliss, two really good kind of passing midfielders who can. And Tom Bayliss we signed from Preston, so he was in the Championship. Signed from Coventry, went for like over £1 million or something like that to Preston, and he's a good technical player. So we've got some talent in the squad, but not enough going forward, unfortunately. But fortunately for you guys, it's an interesting game for us because it's a game where we have high expectations. I'm not sure how entertaining it will be.
Yeah, kind of the same for us. We have high expectations too, especially after just getting blown out by Wednesday. We see this almost as a must win. We have you and Accrington Stanley next. No disrespect to either of you, but these are two of the teams that we need to be getting points from if we're going to stay up. So we're hoping for 4 points out of the next two matches between you and Accrington. So let's go a little bit more in depth into the match. So we go into this match 22nd in the table. You guys are currently 20th. We've both had very tough schedules so far, though. We've played Ipswich, Plymouth, and Sheffield Wednesday. You guys have played Ipswich, Wickham, Derby County. When you look at the XGs, you are currently XGs 4. You guys are currently 16th. We are currently 19th in the league. You look at XGs against, you guys are 17th. We're 21st. So neither of us off to an amazing start, but we both played some really, really good sides.
Yeah.
What do you expect to happen in this match?
Our main expectation is I think we'll win. I think we'll keep it tight. Especially there's a bit of expectation on your side that will go in our favour. We can pass the ball if we want to, but we typically play quite defensive football. We're very, very good at set pieces. Very, very good. All of our goals so far this season have actually come from set pieces.
Wow.
We're very good at set pieces, either long throws or throw-ins. It's going to be an interesting game, especially as both teams' fans' bases and the teams themselves will expect to try and get 3 points. So fingers crossed both teams go for it, and it's an entertaining game.
All right, let's finish with the all-important prediction, which you kind of already gave
I've
us
already
by,
given
by
the
mistake
game away,
earlier.
Exactly, yeah.
But tell us again, and who's going to be the man of the match on your side?
I'm going to go for, as I said, a 2-1 True to Town win. And for man of the match, I'm going to go for our midfielder, Tom Bayliss.
Well, I hope you're wrong. Worst of luck on Saturday, but best of luck this season. You know, I always root for the little guys like us. I loved your three-word description of Salop. I love that. That was beautiful. So I think a lot of Forest Green fans can get behind a club like Shrewsbury. So I'm rooting for you guys to stay up with us. We'll be together again next year in League One. Let's hope. Cross our fingers. So good luck this season. Bad luck on Saturday. Ollie, it has been a pleasure, my friend.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, same to you. Good luck this season. But yeah, bad luck on Saturday.
Cheers, Ollie. All right, Shimmy. Ollie, thank you for hanging out with us, man. Thank you for giving us your wisdom about Shrewsbury Town. Such a great chat, too. We had me and Ollie after we hung up. Really cool guy. He knows a lot of history. He educated me. It was really awesome. Then we had a nice little talk about the Pizza Cup. He told me all kinds of stuff I didn't know about kind of corrupt and annoying it is.
Well, that you know that way it's very much football, right? A microcosm of football as a whole.
True.
Can bring so much joy, but man, there's some weird people involved and shady dealings.
That's a good point. It's maybe the most football cup there is.
Yeah, there you go. And in that case, Papa John is the perfect mascot.
All right, Jimmy, let's wrap up there. Let's first give a quick prediction. Shrewsbury Town, I'm going 9-0 for Screen Rovers. We got a Don Bernard hat trick. We got Jamma getting on the board. We got Marchie getting on the board. We got Wickham coming back from illness getting on the board. And I don't know, however many goals are left. We'll give a few more to Dom as well. 9-0 to the Forest Green Rovers. Going to bounce back like Liverpool did. What do you got?
I love it, man. I love the enthusiasm. I can't quite go there yet. I feel a little less exuberant. But I do think we turn this thing around now. I feel like we learn from that last League One match day. We come out and we get a 3-1 victory.
Okay, 3-1, respectable, just like today. Let's go back-to-back 3-1 victories. We'll take it. All right, let's get out of here, Shimmy. Let's get out of here. Up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR. And you know we got all
of... And you know we got a... Praise Dale. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, thank you so much for listening. And we will see you in a week, baby.
Bye, everybody.
Up the Rovers, baby. Let's beat Shrewsbury. Let's beat Accrington Stanley. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Wanker. Oh, sorry. You got me so excited, Nathan, to go to the football stadium chant. We got this.
Love it.
Let's go, everybody.